Well, desire your prayers again tonight. Still thankful for the Lord's mercies to us. I say that frequently, but I mean it. It's only by His grace and strength that any of us are able to continue. And that's part of what I want to talk about tonight is not just the power of God, but basically three descriptions, three words that describe Him. There's many words that can describe God, but I want to dig into three of them, and they're all related. But I first want to remind us, well, I don't know about you all, but going in some of the stores, local stores, you're already seeing Christmas items being put out, decorations and different things, and I'm like, hard to believe we're already close to that season. I mean, fall's, I guess, just now here, but thinking of, oh, there's some Christmas songs that some of them in particular have a word in them that says Emmanuel, and Emmanuel meaning God with us, meaning His presence is available to us. It was at the time when Jesus was there, but you remember what happened when Jesus left. He sent the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So you could say Emmanuel is with us yet today. And that relates to one of these three words we're going to talk about tonight. I guess you could say it's kind of just a little study, just a little reminder of who God is. And the three words I have in mind are omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. And those three, when you really look into those, that covers a lot of territory. And I don't know about you all, but it gives me a great comfort to know that this is the God that I serve. This is not just some... Remember, which God was it? Diana, or which one that when the Ark of the Covenant was in, they had been taken from the children of Israel, and they put it in with their gods, and was that the one?
Dagon?
Dagon, whatever. And they came back in the next morning, and it was fallen down and broken to pieces. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's the God I serve, the one that's greater than all the other gods, that is... He's not intimidated, okay? That's the interesting thing, is all these other gods are competing with each other because they don't even come close to ranking with our God, the Almighty Living God. That's the problem, is all those other gods are dead. They're not alive. They're just a piece of stone, some brazen metal, whatever it is, it's been hammered out, and no power at all in those. But we serve a living God that's working and moving, alive, and in us. I don't know. That's encouraging. So let's focus on the first one here. Omnipresent. That means, well, first of all, let's break it down. The first part of these three words is omni, which means universal or all. So that's why this put in front of all of these words. And omnipresent simply means all-seeing. And He's present everywhere at the same time, universally and at once. Now that alone, I can be an analytical type of person at times, and that just totally, when it comes to common sense, just totally confounds me. I'm like, that does not make sense. How can that happen? Well, you know, God doesn't have to make sense. Because He is, and He does all those things. He can be everywhere at the same time. Over 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and He can be near each and every one at the same time, and doesn't even put a strain upon Him. Now, how can He do that? Because He's God. Because He is, and was, and ever will be. He's eternal. He's an eternal God. But He's everywhere. Now, let's turn and read a couple of scriptures. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You know, I remember as a child that scripture being used, not just on me, but for all the little children. You better be careful. God sees every little thing you do. And it was more of a, you better shape up type of, you know. But I want us to think about, and that's true, okay? God does see everything, good or bad. But I want to put a little different light on it and look at it this way. God sees all the good that you do as well. You know, God's taking an account. It says He gives, takes an account of everything we do in our body, in the flesh. The words that we say, the deeds that we do, the thoughts that we think. God takes account of all the good things too. And that makes me think of the scripture, don't be weary in well-doing. Let me give you an example. God takes notice of all the prayers that you pray. Every single one. God takes note of them. You ever stop and think, how many times do you pray a day? How many times do you pray a week, a year, whatever, in an hour? I mean, you can whisper little 5-word prayers just every little bit. Just say, oh, Lord, help me. Or, oh, Lord, protect them. Or, oh, Lord, help. You know, whatever the case, that God hears every single prayer. That just blows me away.
And His
ears are open unto their prayers. Yes, open unto their cries as well. Everything. Think of the scripture that talks about laying up treasures in heaven. That's one of the ways you can do it. You're laying up those prayers. Maybe it's for a loved one that you've been burdened for. You've been praying for their salvation for years. Or maybe it's a marital situation or some other relationship situation or an illness, whatever, that you've been praying for years. God is taking note of that. So don't get discouraged and thinking, well, it's not doing any good. Oh, yes, it is. God's taking note. And in God's perfect timing and according to His will, He's going to answer those prayers. It may not be the way we think it ought to be. It may not be the exact time, but God's taking note. So let's be encouraged that, yes, God sees, He beholds the evil and the good. Another scripture, Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Verse 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I mentioned this morning a couple individuals that tried to hide, Jonah, Elijah, and many others we can think of. But you can't hide from God. And I think of all the different times that sometimes people, they'll try, it's not so much in the flesh that they try to hide, but they try to hide their spirit, so to speak. If you understand what I'm saying, it's like they don't want anyone to know really where they're at. You understand what I'm saying? It's like they don't want anyone to judge them of where they're really at because they're not comfortable with it. Maybe they're not as far along as they know they should be. And they try to hide that from everyone else. I'm going to tell you something. You can't hide that from God. God knows exactly where your spirit is, exactly where your heart is right now, tonight. And so it is with all of your loved ones and all those you're burdened for. God knows where they're at as well. And they can put on this facade. Oh, yes, everything's just fine. You know, sometimes we do that too. But God knows. God knows if you're really weary in spirit. God knows if you're discouraged. God knows all those things. God knows when you have a weakness. You're at a weak point. And God, sometimes when we don't even realize it, He's protecting us. Maybe not allowing certain things or circumstances or individuals to come because He knows you're weak. Because He knows our flesh, all right? That it is weak, all right? But then He'll send His Spirit to strengthen us and encourage. Then we are restored. Then we can face all these things. But isn't God wonderful? He can do that. I keep reminding myself of Elijah. That God knew Elijah was weak, all right? He let him run. He could have forced him to stop running from Jezebel. But He's like, no, he's weak right now. Well, let him go. Then I'll pay him a visit. God knew exactly where to find Elijah, way out there, and He found him. So omnipresent, God's everywhere. Now, we'll go to omnipotent. His omnipotence, That means, when you break that down, it's potent. That means powerful. That means he can do anything.
Amen.
Do we believe that tonight?
Yes.
That God can do anything?
Yes. That's scripture.
That's right. And he's proved it. There's a couple of scriptures in Psalms 115 and 3. Psalms 115 and 3, it says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." How many times, well, that's what kings do. You know, you look back in all the generations, it's not so much now, but all throughout the ages, the kings, they have all power and control. They could go do anything. They could go out and take any of your livestock. Bust in your house, the soldiers can take their money because it's theirs. You know, they can do anything they want to. That's the type of power that they use. But our God and King uses his power in a different way. It's not in a selfish motive, just to prove, you know, his authority. God doesn't have to prove anything, right? Because he is the Almighty God. But what he will do is he'll prove himself faithful to the ones that trust in him and pray to him. But God's power, it says, he is in the heavens and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You think of just Mother Nature in general. Has anyone figured out a way how to stop a tornado? Or how to stop a hurricane? How to stop a volcano? How to stop a flood? No, man can't do any of that. Man cannot. All they can do is try to protect themselves. They can't stop God. And the reason he'll send those things, you look back in the scriptures, and I believe he's done it today as well. The reason he sends those things is to deal with the hearts of men. You look back at way back at the first flood with Noah and the ark. God back then was trying to get a hold of the hardened hearts that had turned wicked. So wicked, he wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth. And guess what? He did. Except for Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Except for Noah and his family, God preserved them. But there was nothing man could do. Okay? God is all powerful. Another scripture, Isaiah 43 and 13. Isaiah 43 and 13, it says, "Yea, before the day was, I am he." That's quite a statement. He spoke some similar words to Moses as well. You remember that? And then it says, "And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" That's quite a statement. I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, let means to hinder or prevent. God says, I'm going to work. I'm going to do something. You can't stop me. you can look at it this way. If God chooses to deal with someone's heart, there's nothing they can do to stop it. Now, they're going to try to hinder it. They're going to try to block it out. But God is still going to deal with them. That's why I'm saying our prayers, effectual prayer, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The point is, our prayers for our unsaved loved ones can be very effectual because God can use those and start dealing with them. And there's really nothing. Now, again, they can try to block it, but God's still going to be faithful to deal with them. You can count on it because he promised he's not willing that any should perish. So he's going to do his part. All we have to do is our part. Bring it to the Lord. Cast our cares, roll our burdens upon the Lord, and tell him all about it. Then he's going to do his part, and no one can stop him from dealing with them. Isn't that amazing? Now, they can reject it.
When Sarah laughed, the Lord said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?"
Wow. Yes, thank you for that reminder. Anything too hard for him? Performed a miracle there for Abraham and Sarah, didn't he? But again, yes, they can reject it, but they're going to be held accountable for it. And that is That's not our responsibility. It's between them and God. But I don't know. I've just found great comfort in that. That we need to, again, don't be weary in well-doing. Continue praying. Continue reaching out to them. Showing love. Let's do our part. Okay? But again, who can hinder it? And who shall let it? Thank the Lord. He's all powerful. Then omniscient. That means all-knowing, infinite understanding and awareness. I mentioned this morning, and I'll say it again, there is nothing that catches God off guard. There is nothing that surprises Him. He sees everything coming at Him, if you could say it that way, as if anything is going to affect Him. But He sees everything that Satan is doing. He sees everything that we are doing. He's seeing everything that anyone is doing. And He understands why they're doing it, why we're doing it, okay? And He also has the power and authority to stop something when He wants to. I'm reminded again of that story. Remember the man that had a legion, had many devils? And remember when Jesus cast them out? And what happened to them? They were cast into the swine. And what happened to all these pigs? I think there's like 2,000 of them. Can you imagine? I mean, we've all seen herds of cattle. That's what we see around here, is a lot of herds of cattle. But there's maybe 200 or 300 at the max, you know, at one time you see in a field. But over 2,000 pigs. And He cast the devils out, and they go into these swine, the pigs, and they jump off the cliff, and they're killed. You see, that's what Satan was desiring to do with Legion. He wanted to kill him too. If you really think about it, that's why he was all beaten up to begin with. But God was not allowed. He's like, no, you're not going to take his life. And then Jesus cast them out. Isn't that, that's an amazing story to me. That's what Satan is desiring to do with all of us. Is to make an example of us and do like he did to the swine, the pigs. Satan wants to cast them off, you know, cause us to do crazy things. But God in his mercy is protecting us when we don't realize it. God is protecting us from influences, from whatever type of accidents, from diseases, all those things that other people can get just like that or whatever. But God has his hand over us, protecting us as his children. And how can he not, especially when we're praying to him? How can he resist that? Saying, well, I can't turn you. Yeah, I'll, you know. Not that he's going to give us everything we want, but he's going to give us what we need. Just like a real parent should do to their children. But omniscient, let's read a couple of scriptures. Psalms 147. All-knowing. Psalms 147, verse 5. It says, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I remember as a child, and I've seen other little children doing the same thing, trying to talk about, you know, how strong they are, or how much money they have, or how fast they can run, or whatever, and you know, well, it's up to infinity. You know, there's, you know, it's beyond, there's without number. Well, that's what the wisdom and understanding that God has. He's the creator of the universe. He figured out all these things that man has just now figured out some things of how and why the earth does the things that it does. You know, the rotations of, you guys have heard this before. That if the earth was tilted, I think it's, what, 23.5 degrees or something, tilted on its axis and rotating, spinning, and going around the sun. But if it was just some degrees tilted more one way or the other in its orbit around the sun, that we would either all freeze to death or we'd all be burned up. We're just talking just tilted, just minuscule degrees off would greatly affect our life here on earth. God had all that figured out, spoke it into existence, and man's going, you know. And all these other things, I mentioned before about the Hubble telescope, and this just blows me away, how that they're still discovering other solar systems millions and millions of light years away. Okay, we're in our own little solar system, and we're in our own little galaxy. They're discovering other galaxies out there, millions and billions of other galaxies. But they're still discovering them, and there's other species that they're also, of little fish and other little critters down in the deep seas that they're also discovering, that they've never discovered before. And God's had those, He designed them, made them years ago. They've been there forever, you know, since the beginning of time possibly, and man is just now discovering them. But God is so infinite. I want to revisit that part about the Hubble telescope. It just blows me away that God created all this. I mentioned we're in our little solar system. Our little solar system is in the Milky Way galaxy. And if you went out to the night sky and looked at the Big Dipper and at the... I'll just draw it. I think I can draw it, right? Someone help me if I'm wrong here. Well, it's pretty crude here. But anyway, maybe there's only a few points here. But in this part of the Big Dipper, they took the Hubble telescope and they focused it just in that one little area and zoomed up and zoomed up and zoomed up. We're talking of all the night sky. And they picked just this one little area and zoomed up. And guess what they found? Millions of other galaxies. Millions of other galaxies. They just kept zooming. It's like there was no end. The further they zoomed, more galaxies they would find. That's the God we serve. He created all that just to confound the wise of this world. He is infinite. There's no end. There's no end to His knowledge. And He knows how many stars are in the sky. He knows really how many galaxies are out there. He knows the numbers of our hairs of our head. I think Mike mentioned one time that he encouraged with this thought, well, he would just pull a hair out just to see if God would have to recount again, you know. But that's something where you can't stump God. He knows all these things. You know, if He knows the hairs of our head, and He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, and He knows the number of the sands of the sea, you know, what is there that He doesn't know? Is there anything He doesn't know? Can you stump Him with a math problem? I can get stumped pretty quick. I can't even remember the quadratic formula. I remember learning that name and using it in math class, but I can't even remember how to work it now. But God invented all those things. He doesn't need a quadratic formula to figure anything. Because He knows it. He doesn't need any formulas. See, that's what man has. They've developed all these formulas to try to figure out these things and how to calculate how to send a man to the moon. You know, God just speaks it and it happens. Or God just plants someone where He wants to and it happens. That's the God we serve. Another scripture I mentioned earlier, Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. Says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Again, this is the God we serve. Even when we misunderstand someone else's intentions, God's not fooled by it. That's why He encourages us, cast all our care on Him. When someone else stumps us, when someone else confounds us, misunderstanding, we don't understand, you know, why did you do that, or why this, or whatever the case is, the Lord knows. Pray to Him about it, and pray that the Lord would give you the understanding to know how to deal with whatever situation, and to know that His omnipotence, His almighty power, can enable you to then go and do what He tells you to do. What's the scripture say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Reminded of a little story I read that never forgot. It's about a little boy that lived in a large city. And this was back before the dangers that we have now in this modern day. But his mother had hired a neighbor girl to walk with him to school until he was up in the second grade, I think. And she would pay this neighbor girl 5 cents a day. Now back then, whether it was 100 years ago, whatever, it was several years ago. That was a lot of money. And so they did this for a long time. But later, the boy, as little boys will do at times, will tell his mama, "No, I'm big enough. I don't need her to walk with me. Just, I can do it by myself." And so she's, okay, that's fine. And so he bragged about his independence, you know, that I walked to school all by myself. And it wasn't until later, sometime later, he found out what actually happened. You see, yes, she stopped the girl from being his little guard, protector, so to speak. But what was happening is the mother would secretly follow the boy where he could never see her. And she would follow him to school. And oh, he didn't know any of this was taking place. And he'd come back home and brag to his mom and all his family. And yeah, I walked to school and everything's fine. Nobody bothered me. And well, of course, they saw the mother kind of lurking back behind, you know. But she was watching him all the while. But you know, that little thought, thinking of it that way, we as humans sometimes can do the same thing. We think we can make it along pretty well by ourselves. But we have someone, our Heavenly Father, that's watching out for us all the time. And yeah, we think we're pretty independent sometimes, self-sufficient. But it's really God. Behind the scenes, He's the one that's enabling us. And He's also the one that's protecting us from all the unknown dangers out there. But I want to encourage us too, that it makes a difference. It absolutely makes a difference when we cry and pray unto the Lord. I'm thinking specifically of, I mean, even in the mornings, because we don't know what each day holds. I mentioned just last week when Braden was very close to getting bit by that copperhead. We don't know what each day holds. And later, after all the evening was done, and I'm thinking, my, our evening could have been totally different. You know, I've reminded different times of, and someone was just sharing the other day, too, where they were somewhere at a big gathering, I don't know where it was at, and all of a sudden they heard a med flight helicopter flying in, and they picked someone up and took off, and later found out it was someone that was bit by a copperhead. But I'm thinking, you know, that could have been us. But God hears our prayers every day, every hour. We come to Him for protection, for healing, for the strength, whatever strength we need, for the understanding of knowing how to interact or deal with situations. God is capable of that. So let's not shortchange ourselves. Let's be, as the scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is the God. He is more than ready and willing. It's just like He's standing there right here fixing to give us what we need, but we have to ask first. So again, let's not be weary in well-doing, whether it's praying or turning the other cheek, loving our enemies. Whatever the case is, God is watching what we're doing and what we're not doing. He's watching our enemies as well. He's not going to allow them to go too far. Just like with the pigs, the swine, and with the legion, He cast out all those devils. He's like, nope, you can't take His life. Remember Job? He's like, nope, you can take all these other things, but you can't take His life. That's the God we serve. That's how special we are to Him as His children. So let's be encouraged as we go throughout this week to remember that God is omnipresent, He's omnipotent, and He's omniscient, and He's all-powerful. Pray for me that I be faithful.